of us that you still love us. No matter what we go through, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we look like, you still love us. And we thank you for that today. We thank you, Lord God, that you are high and lifted up, that you alone are God and are with us always. I thank you, Lord, that even when it doesn't feel like it, you're walking right beside us. Even when it doesn't seem like anything is going right in our lives, you are right there beside us. Even when it feels like everything is going wrong, Lord, you are still right there beside us, just waiting for us to say, Lord, I give it to you. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I thank you for who you are in this season. I thank you, Lord, that in spite of everything going on around us, that you and you alone are God. We pray, Lord God, for your blessings. We pray, Lord God, for your strength. We pray, Lord God, for your peace in a time of so much trouble. We thank you for joy unspeakable. We don't ask for very much because, Lord, we know that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we don't have to beg you. We don't have to argue with you. We don't have to plead with you. We don't have to make a deal with you. You and you alone are God. And just for us saying yes, you are right there with us. So we thank you, Lord God, for who you are today. I pray, Lord, that as we study your word today, that seeds be planted, that seeds be watered, and that it all be for your glory. I pray for Pastor Bobby and Deanna and his family and their family as they are away today. I pray for your peace and rest for the pastor of this house, for the shepherd of this house. I pray, Lord God, that you strengthen him, give him clarity, give him wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, to continue to, that he'll be able to come back and continue to be the shepherd that you have called him to be. I pray for his family, Lord God, that your anointing rests upon them, that no weapon formed against them can prosper, that they are more than conquerors through you, Christ Jesus. We ask these blessings in your precious name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So again, I count it an honor to be able to stand before you. We have a couple of announcements. Our men's study is on the second Saturday of every month here at 8 a.m. with Brother Joe. And there is an announcement here, and you can get that on your way out if you want more information about that. We have our women's study that we do on Zoom. This week we'll do it here at 8 a.m. here at the sanctuary. And we'll have breakfast and a study and fellowship. And the women, we meet every Saturday. The third Saturday is when we meet in person. The rest of the time we meet on Zoom. Again, if you need more information about the women's study, you can get the newsletter, and you can get the information, and you can give me a call, and I can help you out with that. Even if you think you can't get on Zoom, just call me up. I can help you out, I promise. So, all right. So, we've been studying about, for a few weeks now, 30 life principles. And what I got out of where we are to this point, we're at principle number 10, and I kind of took 1 through 10 up to this point and just kind of summed it up in just a couple words for each one. So just to give you what my perspective, and I know Pastor Bobby has been working on this and other ministers have been working on this, but this is my perspective. The first principle summed up to me is intimacy with God. Without intimacy with God, then how can we have a relationship with God? And the biggest takeaway I got from that is intimacy has been so tainted that we don't really understand what that means anymore. But intimacy is just that close relationship, like a mother and father relationship, like a brother and sister relationship. That's intimacy, not what it's been made to look like. So obey God. That's the second principle. When we're in relationship with God, we want to obey God. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to wonder if we're doing the right thing. Intimacy means that I'm that close to him that I believe what he says and I'm going to obey it. The third principle, trust God. He's our anchor. When I trust what he says, when I trust his direction, then that's an anchor. That no matter what the storms are that's going on around us, you're anchored in him. There's a scripture, and I can't think of what it is, but Brother Felix, don't judge me. But there's a scripture that says that the wind will toss us back and forth. We'll bend, but we won't break. That's what being anchored means. Awareness of his presence. He's walking in the opening prayer. That was what I opened with, is he's present with us always. In Psalm 139, it says that no matter where I am, I'm getting ahead of myself, but no matter where I am, he's right there with me. I'll give you the rest of that in a minute. And then blind faith. If I believe that he's right there with me, then I can blindly believe, regardless of what I see, no matter what my situation is, no matter what it looks like, I can blindly believe that he is right there with me and he's going to take care of me. I might even get some bumps and bruises, but I'm not breaking because he's my anchor. God works it out for our good. Principle 7, God works it out for our good. No, I'm sorry, I skipped one. 6, you reap what you sow. So in everything that I do, if I'm trusting God and I'm believing God and I'm obeying God, I am reaping what I sow. The harvest that I get from believing that, I reap what I sow. But if I reap in fear, if I sow in fear, if I sow in doubt, if I sow in unbelief, then my harvest is weeds. 7, God works it out for our good. Even if we make a mistake, even if the decisions that I make are not lined up with what God's will is for me, he's still right there. And he's still going to work all of it out for my good. The Bible says that trouble will come. And trouble does come. But if I'm anchored in him, that trouble won't last always. That trouble is temporary. And it's not going to break me. 8, to fight on my knees. Praying always. Praying is communication with God. Prayer doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out sermon or beautiful words or any of that. It's just having a conversation with him. Just like I'm having a conversation with you. That's prayer. And as long as I can communicate with him in that way, he's right there with me. We visualize God in this way off place because that's what we've been told. But he's right here. He's with us always. 9, trust God beyond what you see. There's so much chaos going on in this world right now that it's hard to know what to trust, what to believe. It's just hard to do it. I was on the fence about even bringing this up, but there, at the Pueblo Mall, there's a circus called the Paranormal Circus. A big giant tent with a big sign across the top of it that says Paranormal Circus. When did the paranormal become a circus for entertainment? When did that happen? So in spite of what we see around us, we still have to trust God. Amen? So 10, God's will be done. And that's where I picked it up. And the scripture references, and there's a Bible in front of you if you want to look them up. But 1 Kings 16:30 through 33, 2 Chronicles 17, 3 through 4, 2 Chronicles 18, 1 through 3, 18, 2 Chronicles 18, okay, let's go all the way up to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. So from 17 to 20. It's a story about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Ahab was a king, and he tried to follow God's rules. He tried. But he also compromised. So he didn't totally walk out what God's will was for him because he made compromises. So the list of the 1 through 10 principles that I just gave you, when we look at it from that perspective, if I'm have an intimate relationship with God and I obey God and I'm trusting God and I'm aware of his presence, that I have blind faith in him, that I'm going to reap what I sow, that God is going to work everything out for my good, I don't have to compromise, right? And so in the beginning of, in the very first question asked in this chapter, it says, what is God's will for your life? I'll be a little interactive just for a second. Don't judge me. Come on, feelers, work with me. Do you know what God's will is for your life? And when people ask the question, so if I just walk around this way, am I okay? If people ask the question, what is God's will for your life, right? So Angela, would you help me out? If I asked you that question, what would your answer be? Okay. Brother Felix?
God's will is in his word.
Okay.
I apply his word to my life. I walk in God's word.
Amen. Amen. Sister, would you like to answer that? Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for participating. Because that's what most of us think. None of those answers are not what we all think. Right? Because we think that God's will is this complicated plan that we have to follow. Because we've taught that we got to follow these rules. We're taught that we have to walk a certain way. We have to talk a certain way. We have to act a certain way. That all of these things determine the formula for what God's will is for our life. Right? But it's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. It's so easy. The very next question he asks is, do you have an answer or do you think it's a good question? For years, I've been in the church my whole life. Well, outside of when I was out in the street, you know, but I've been in church a good portion of my life. And I still, as an adult, couldn't answer the question, what is God's will for my life? So I know that I'm a teacher. I know that I'm a seamstress. I know that I'm a mother. I know that I'm a grandmother. I know that I'm an entrepreneur. I know that I mentor. I know that I'm all of those things. So we think that we have to be a thing to follow, to be in God's will. It's not about our titles. Our titles don't determine walking in God's will. Because I'm a minister, it doesn't mean that I'm in God's will. Because I'm a mother, it doesn't mean that I'm in God's will. I fall short every single day. Every day. But does that mean that I'm not walking in God's will? That's not what that means. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So then, if that's the case, if God's will is not in the title of who we are, and we're trying to figure out what that is of what his will is for our lives. First of all, his will for us is the same for all of us. Let's throw that out there. It's the same for all of us. He don't have a specific will for you and a specific will for you and a specific will for you, because he has things, specific things for us to do. Don't get it twisted. He has certain specific things we all have to do our part, because we're all a part of one body. And each part of that body plays a role in the body of Christ. But his will for you, we all have that. He has the same will for all of us. All right, so what stands in the way of that? What stands in the way of us realizing what that will is? And what does that represent for us? What does that look like for us? Psalm 139:7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Further down it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties." I wanted to use this scripture along with what was in the study, because he's saying to us, no matter what we think of ourselves, God is still right there with us. But when I went down to try me and know my anxieties, what has been studied up to this point, in some of these studies, it talked about tearing down idols. You know what stands in the way of me knowing what God's will is for me? Are the idols that I carry. Now, again, we visualize idols. We visualize idols as a tangible thing. We can take a thing and say that it's an idol. We can say that this oil, because it's anointed oil, because it's blessed oil, you put more stock in the oil than the God who works through it. That's an idol. The power is not in the oil. It's just a vehicle. But it's an idol. I talked about the anxieties. Anxiety can be an idol. We look at idols as the things that are outside of us. But the worst idols that we carry are the very ones we carry in our heart. Insecurity, bitterness, anger, guilt, shame, hurt. Those are idols. You know why they're idols? Because we hold a higher standard to those issues than the God who is greater than all of it. If God created us, then he knows us. In that same scripture, in Psalm 139, he talks about that he formed us in the inward parts of our mother's womb. He knows us. So if I'm holding on to anger or bitterness or shame or any of these issues and not trusting God to give them to him, that's an idol. So what is standing in the way of me understanding what God's will is for me? Do a self-inventory. I tell the story all the time that insecurity was, I had very, very severe insecurity issues growing up, due to abuse growing up. And for me to be able to stand here today and talk to you today, like 20 years ago, that could never have happened. Never have happened. But I say that to say that the insecurity was my security blanket. Where was God in that? If the Bible said whom the Son sets free is free indeed, then why do I need to hold on to it? But it's security. Let's tell the truth. It's like a security blanket. We hate it. We don't love it at all. We don't like it at all. But it's almost like a security blanket that we hold on to. That's an idol. And that stands in the way of what God's will is for us. Right? So then if I put away the things that are holding me back from God, then I'll go back to my original question. Do you know what God's will is for your life? God's will is to dwell with Him. It's that simple. In the secret place of the Almighty, His will is to dwell with Him. So if I look at, so this the 30 principles started in Genesis, right? So in the first chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 25, and it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and was void. Darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over it. So God created order out of chaos, right? So if He created the order out of chaos, then our chaos, if He created order out of the chaos in the whole world, how big could our chaos possibly be for Him to fix? How could that be? Right? But we've gotten so used to paying attention to what we see as opposed to what God's word says. His promises. The Bible says it. Yes and amen. Those are His promises. So then, okay, so he created the heaven and the earth, and then He put the animals, the fish, the birds. He put all of that in place. He put everything in place. He said it is good. And then He created man. Now, I know we did principle one already, but I just love this so much. I keep going back to it. That God created everything we needed, and then He put us in it. So if that was the way He did it, then why do we have to hold on to anxiety or insecurity or anger or bitterness or any of those things? I had a childhood growing up that there's not many stories a person can tell me that would shock me because I probably went through it. But when I learned who God was in my life, when I learned how good God was, when I learned that in spite of the damage that was done, He still loved me. He still cared for me. He still healed me. He still delivered me. He allowed me to be a mother where I can teach my son so that my son don't make those same mistakes. He allowed me to be able to mentor other women. Did you know that even to be a helper can be an idol? If you don't do it according to the way God wants you to do it? I got stuck in a pattern of, I was so excited about my healing, and I was so excited about how God was just healing my life and how my life was evolving into a good place that I wanted everybody to have it. And that was good. But was I doing it the way God wanted me to do it? You know how I discovered I wasn't doing it the way God wanted me to do it? Because I was getting more frustrated about the people I was trying to help while they kept on going their own way. That wasn't God's will. But had I been walking close to him first, instead of my desire to help first, because we can still do both, but we still have to put him first. So that then, let's go back. So that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, I think that is. His will is for us to dwell with him. And as long as I can do that, everything else is going to work out, even if it don't feel like it. Because there's going to be a lot of times where it don't feel like it. I'm a witness. It's going to be a lot of times it don't feel like it. But as long as I keep my face like flint, focused on him, and just focusing on, this is what I, one of the things that I learned for myself is that when I pray, I imagine myself walking with him. I visualize myself walking with him. And the more I did that, the more when things came up, I remembered that he was walking right beside me. That's God's will. The Bible says that he's a jealous God. To serve no other gods beside him. So when I talked about the idols are those gods, are those things that we hold on to in our heart that we don't have to. We carry weights that we don't have to carry. We carry baggage we don't have to carry. Because God is bigger than all of that. God is greater than all of that. If he created me, he can create a way to get at you out of whatever that issue you're in. Even if you make a bad decision or a bad choice. Okay, another tip I use is, you know how you say, I felt like I was supposed to do such and such. And I felt like I was supposed to go this way or go to that, do that, or I was supposed to make that decision. The loudest voice you hear is not God's voice. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a still, small voice. So if you're quiet, okay, on your knees, if you're quiet, you hear the still, small voice. But that loud voice that says, do it, because God is not going to yell at us. He don't have to. Because if he's walking right next to us, he can whisper it right in our ear, right? Does that make sense? So what stands in the way of me walking in God's will? And what is God's will for me? God's will. Please, if you take nothing else from this lesson, God's will for you is for you to dwell with him. Because as long as you're with him, you're going to hear the right direction. You're going to hear the right advice. You're going to hear the right tools you need to walk out whatever is going on around you. God's will for your life is to walk with him. So I talked about Genesis. In the very beginning, Genesis, Adam walked with God. You don't hear about conversations they had. You don't hear about arguments they had. He just walked with God. You don't hear about controversy until the serpent came along. When he wanted to convince Eve, you know, with a little bit of truth, because that's the other thing. A little bit of truth sprinkled into a whole mess of lies. Because isn't that what gets us in trouble? We hear something that we know a piece of that is true, and we hold on to that piece. I've done it a zillion times. We hold on to that piece that we know is true and assume the rest of it is true just because you know that little piece of it is true. So, God's will is for us to dwell with him. And then, so if we're praying and we're having a conversation with God, then a part of that conversation, you want it to be to open the ears of my understanding, that I hear you more clearly. Not the noise of the world, but to hear his voice. Right? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. He knows them. But he's not searching your heart if you're not asking him. You won't have peace without asking for it and then believing that he'll give it to you. Because his promises are yes and amen. Those are his promises. God created a place for us to dwell, a place where he has taken care of our needs. If he created this earth and he created us, he also created a way for us to dwell with him. Somebody didn't turn the air on. So idols are a false identity. Let's say that to wrap it up. Idols are a false identity. Why is it a false identity? Because the negative things that we believe about ourselves and the negative things that people have told us about ourselves have created a false identity, and that false identity has overtaken the voice of God, because the Holy Spirit, what? Speaks in a still, small voice. That false identity keeps us from hearing his voice. It's false. The Bible tells us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you. Greater is he who is in you. Greater is he who is in you. Nothing in this world, nothing can take that away from you. Only you can put it down. Nothing can take that from you. But God is great, because God is greater than that. So I didn't want to spend that much time on the idols, and so I guess that was needed. When I can identify what the lies and illusions are in my life, that's what brings me closer to him. God will move heaven and earth for you. This opened up with, if necessary, God will move heaven and earth to show his will. He's moving heaven and earth to show you he's right there with you. That nothing can hurt you. Just to dwell with him. He'll move heaven and earth. And then the lesson behind, the lesson here at the end, it says God always knows where we are in our journey of faith. God always knows where we are in our journey. He always knows where we are. And it's so funny because you're ever around people who know that you saved and they're not, and they apologize to you when they say some messed up stuff in front of you. Why are you apologizing to me? God sees you. God hears you. What are you apologizing to me for? But I get it a lot. And I always think to myself, well, okay, I don't know what the apology meant, but okay. But God sees us, each and every one of us. He knows every move. He knows every thought. Every thought. He knows it. So if I believe that he's right here with me, then Lord, teach me how to walk out the way you want me to walk. Teach me how to talk the way you want me to talk. Teach me how to hear your voice. Teach me how to change my mind, that battlefield of the mind. He'll do it. He'll move heaven and earth for us. If we just ask him and believe it. I hear people say a lot of times, well, I've been praying and I've been praying and I've been praying, but the prayer don't mean a thing if you don't believe it. It doesn't mean, it's empty words if you don't believe it. Because God knows your heart. And if he knows your heart, he knows whether you believe it or not. And sometimes it's hard to have that blind faith because you've been so messed up for so long. You're like, I don't even know how to even do that. You're scared to even let go like that. So then you baby step it. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And before you know it, it's just second nature. But when we believe the negative things, when we believe that we have to compromise, when we believe that we have to figure this out on our own, we have conditioned ourselves to believe that we are in control. Now we idols. We've conditioned ourselves to believe that God will take care of these things right here, but I don't know about this right here. I might have to help him out. He don't need our help. In fact, he preferred not to get it. Let's tell the truth. He would prefer we don't. And so take it a little step at a time. And every little thing that you do. I remember when I was a kid, my mother taught us about fasting. And she said, LaDoris, I'll never forget, it was my birthday, and I wanted a birthday party, and she didn't know whether she could do it. And she said, LaDoris, we're going to go on a fast and see what God does. I was a little girl. And so I said, okay, well, we can do this fast thing. Let's just try this. I didn't know any better, but I believed what my mother told me. That was 50 years ago. I believe it till this day. But God showed himself everything that I wanted, not materially, but just because I was abused for so long, that was a ray of hope, of light for me when God gave me what I asked for in that day. It was like I had never experienced something like that. I didn't know what that meant. That showed me that God was truly a real God. That was tangible. I could see that. That was 50 years ago. Till this day, I still remember it. But that was my first glimpse of the light of Christ that said, I am God, and you can trust me. Allow him to show you that light. Allow him to show you that glimpse and believe him. Because in the beginning, you'll see glimpses. Hold on to that, because God is going to show you the rest. As you believe it, as you walk it out, he'll show you the rest of the picture. I know that's hard to do. We sit in church all our life and still don't believe in the God that's right next to us. We still believe in that God that's up there. And he's right here. He's right here. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. You are predestined. Before you were born, before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. Your life was already laid out. Your life was already planned out. From the very beginning, before you even took one breath in this world, he knew you because he created you to be who you are. The world taints it, but that wasn't God's plan. He will justify you and you'll be glorified. He'll be glorified through you. I'm sorry. He will be glorified through you when you walk out his will. God is committed to helping us live out the specific plan that he has designed. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." He knows you. He knows you. Thoughts of peace, not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's God's will. He'll move heaven and earth. And what does that mean to move heaven and earth? Earth, remember in Genesis, that was the word, it was chaos. It was darkness. It was void. It was chaos. He'll move all of that out of the way when you trust him with all your heart, when you believe with all your heart. Trust is hard to do. Trust is hard to do. Because where have we learned trust? How have people destroyed our trust over and over and over and over again? And how will they continue to ruin our trust? So trust is hard to do. It takes practice. It takes time. It takes you have to be intentional. I'm sorry, I couldn't get it out. And you have to be intentional to say that no matter what it looks like today, the best prayer I feel like I prayed in the morning and my best study time and my worship time, the best. I walk out the door, I go to work, I feel like I'm on fire, like it's going to be a great day. All hell break loose. And I have to remember and I have to remind myself. Because what did God just tell me this morning in his word? How did God show me who he was this morning in his word? That takes practice. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy because it's not. I've been on this journey a long time. But trust him because his will is for you to walk with him, believing, to have an intimate walk with him, obey him, to have faith in him, to trust him, believe that he is your anchor, believe that he is walking right beside you, be able to have a conversation with him, and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what it looks like, he will move heaven and earth for you. No matter what it looks like. Amen? So, in closing, God knows what it'll take to get your attention. And there are going to be things that are going to happen to get your attention. But the Bible says that he is the potter and we are the clay. He is molding us and shaping us in his way. He created us in his image. And though man has fallen, he is shaping us and making us in his image. That's his will for us. So I pray that this lesson gave you a little hope to hold on to, a little glimmer of light. But it gave you something to hold on to. Amen? So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time and this study. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this place. I thank you for every heart that's been touched. I thank you, Lord, for every seed that's been planted. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing that's on those seeds. I thank you for the waterer who's come along and watered those seeds, because it's all for your glory. I pray, Lord God, that for each person who is listening today, that, Lord God, you give them the surety of what your will is for their lives, and that you will move heaven and earth for us to realize that will. And that will is for us to dwell with you. Because when we dwell with you, we can hear you clearer, we can see you clearer, we can walk in peace, we can walk in joy, we can walk in confidence that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We can walk in confidence that we'll walk in the wholeness and the newness of you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done here. We bless you and you praise, and we praise you in your precious name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Have a blessed night. Thank you all.